The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what I stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret this present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, come and illuminate our hearts and our minds as we look at this difficult passage from your word, that we would come to know and to love you more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have you all seen, and I'm sure you have, a quintessential motivational poster with the sunset or a mountain or a beautiful lake, something like that. Some rugged adventurers, right? And a pithy saying, one step at a time, or you can do anything you set your mind to. Something like that, yes. This being the age of the internet, one of the sort of rules of this age is that if anything exists in the world, there is a parody of it online. Sort of the way things work. So there are whole sites devoted to demotivational posters as well. Like, the view looks better from your couch, you know, things like that. And I personally tend to find those a little bit more clever, but that probably says more about my own sense of humor and my preference for satire. Of course, there are Christian versions of the motivational poster. Probably, you know, one of the most famous ones is the beach with a single set of footprints and the sort of footprints, or is that what it's called, the poem, and I carried you during the time that it was most difficult. That one, I'm sure you're familiar with that one. But for the life of me, I've never seen a motivational poster, a Christian motivational poster, with Jesus saying, do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. That actually sounds a little bit more like one of those demotivational posters, doesn't it? Almost a parody or a satire. It's a really hard saying. This is a difficult passage from the Gospel of Luke. It doesn't even really sound like Jesus, right? And I don't mean that to sort of build up a straw man and then say, well, there's a quick fix. There's a mistranslation of a Greek word and it's all set. You know, sort of bail us out. No. This is a difficult passage. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? Well, yes. Yes, we do. We do think that. And part of that is because, remember those angels back at Christmas singing to the shepherds? You know, peace on earth and goodwill towards men, all people. That's what the angels were saying on Christmas Eve. I think that we can read those two passages, both from Luke. I think that we can read them together. I don't think the angels were lying, and I don't think that Jesus is just sort of having an off day. But what his words today do say, what they do for us, is they cut through the layers of sentimentality that cheapen the radical, exclusive, and disruptive nature of the gospel. The coming of Jesus Christ, the inauguration of the kingdom of God, will bring division. Friends, that simply is true, for good or for ill. Wherever the word of God is or has been proclaimed, division follows. The gospel is disruptive and confrontational because it demands a response from us. Jesus himself is not standing by himself. He's not standing in isolation. Instead, he's standing in the tradition of the Hebrew prophets, of Ezekiel, of Isaiah, of Micah, of Hosea. And especially today, he stands on the shoulders of Jeremiah. God was speaking through Jeremiah to denounce false prophets, you so-called wise men who have the spiritual gift of just making stuff up. That's not a real spiritual gift, in case there was any confusion on that. They were just making stuff up. I dreamed this. And as they were doing that, they were causing people to forget God. And as they did that, they caused people to forget who they were called to be, the holy people of God. So Jeremiah says, enough. Enough, echoes Jesus. Of course, being a prophet is dangerous. All of the Hebrew prophets found this out, all the ones that I just mentioned. Jesus himself will bear the brunt of the hostility and the opposition that he's talking about. The way of the kingdom is also the way of the cross. When he mentions baptism here in this passage, he's talking about his impending death. Anyone could see, any neutral observer looking at Jesus' career could see a few years into his ministry, the powers that be were getting increasingly angry. They were becoming overtly hostile to him. His proclamation that the kingdom of God was here was getting him into trouble. His arrival on earth brought division wherever he went. That's just the way it was. That seems to be a fact, a conclusion that is clearly borne out in the subsequent 2,000 years of human history. And it's deeply, deeply troubling. And I think it's troubling, and it's hard for us to grapple with this because it is so deeply ironic. The Messiah's message, right, that God's peace is coming to earth, necessarily brings division. The good news, the message of God's peace on earth, necessarily brings division. Why? Let me suggest the crux of the issue is this. The peace of God is not the same as the peace of this world. The peace of the world is gained through silence and oppression. Jesus lived during the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Rome's power was at its height during this time. Their GDP was, you know, growing every year, year on year. There were no big sort of existential wars going on that they were fighting. It was a time of flourishing. The peace of Rome. Of course, he also crucified anyone who went up against them. And if you even thought about rebellion, they'd crucify you and all your family. That's not peace. That's not true peace. The peace of that world is rooted in domination. It is the peace only for the victorious, the powerful, and the wealthy. When Jesus says, "Do you think I come to bring peace?" That's the type of peace he's referring to. That's the peace he's coming to disrupt with the fire of his word, knowing that his proclamation will in fact lead him to his death, and also that his followers can expect the same response. So all in all, perhaps not the most motivational message this morning. I don't think we'd make a whole lot of money if we put that on a poster and tried to sell it. But as I said earlier, it is still crucial for us to hear these hard words of Jesus, of Jeremiah, of Psalm 82, because they cut through this sentimentality that dulls our spiritual senses to the urgency of the gospel. The word of God always demands a response. And sadly, for many, the response is hostility and rejection. And thus, the divisions Jesus talks about will occur, have occurred, will continue to occur. Jesus brings division into the world, just as he says that he will, because the peace of Rome is not a peace worth preserving. And yet, confronting or rebelling against Rome has consequences. Friends, let me make this clear. A commitment to follow Jesus will be costly. That's crystal clear if we read Scripture, we read the history of the saints who have gone before us. So if I may, let me offer a challenge for all of us. If your allegiance to Jesus hasn't cost you anything, I'd encourage you to examine just who or what it is you think you're following, because it's likely not the Jesus that's revealed in the pages of Scripture. It is costly to forgive someone 70 times 7 times. It is costly to love your enemies. It is costly to observe a regular Sabbath. Sometimes it's costly simply to say, "I'm a Christian." It is costly to proclaim God's news, to bear the name of Christ into a world that is invested in preserving its own perverted form of peace. That is, of course, no true peace. May we all face that personal examination, counting the cost. May we face that with courage. And may we all commit and recommit every day ourselves to following Jesus, knowing that the reward is an eternal peace, an eternal, abundant peace that no earthly cost can diminish. Amen.